I so greatly appreciate what has gone on before, and I heartily amen it. Love Brother Larry. I remember one of the first times I ever saw Brother Larry when I was a child. He come down to Union Primitive Baptist Church where I was a member, and I was a young teenager, and Brother Larry would come down, and I remember one time that he came, and he had a little bit of difficulty getting up. It was a pulpit kind of like that, had a little bit of difficulty getting up. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, how is this man who's too weak to get up in the pulpit going to be able to preach with any power today? Because, my friends, it's not about physical makeup. The Lord blessed him in power to preach that day as he did today. And I'm very thankful that God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound those things which are mighty. Because I don't have a hope if the Lord hasn't chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the things that are wise. And I'm very thankful to be here with you today. We've greatly enjoyed being with you. I'd like to look at a concept today, Lord being my helper, that I think is aptly summarized in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 21. And in that he said, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruits thereof." Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruits thereof. And I want to look at death first. Now, as we all know, words that you say can be extremely detrimental. They can be extremely harmful. I mean, we all grew up hearing sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Well, bless their heart, whoever made that up was not being scriptural in that. Because I'm telling you, words are destructive. You get a few people that get a nefarious intent, and they start spreading some words. Before you know it, houses are being burned down. Crosses are being lit aflame in somebody's yard. I mean, you've got riots going on in the streets. We've had a past president who wasn't nearly as clear and emphatic in his communication of support for the police. And what have we had since? We've had a terrible mess ever since. And it's not just the words that come out of your mouth. It's your content. It's your communication and your expression. So we, as Primitive Baptists, the visible militant church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, need never forget how destructive our words can be. Why is it that there is death in the power of the tongue? Because the deathly things that come forward out of our mouth are in perfect accord with the fallen, natural, corrupt nature that this world is steeped in. Now, I appreciate this world. I mean, I'm not in any big rush. I'm not suicidal. I'm not any of those things. But I'll tell you what, I look forward to there being a greater new heaven and new earth on high in which dwelleth righteousness. Where I don't have to worry about the vileness and the corruption and the filth of this world that just astounds me from day to day. It's the same corruption and vileness that I used to dwell in, that I used to love in this world before the Lord dealt with my heart. And I'm telling you, in this environment, the corruptions of the tongue can be so greatly destructive. And kindred, we need to always do like the psalmist. I think it's over in Psalms 141. He prayed unto the Lord. He said, "Set a watch, O Lord, over my mouth and keep the doors of my lips." You know, I'm telling you, we need the help of the Lord that we could restrain our tongues. We need to not be, my friends, part of the problem. We need to be part of the solution. In the Proverbs, it tells us very plainly that where no wood is, the fire will go out. And where there's no talebearer, then strife will cease. Then let us be part of the solution and not part of the problem. Talking about this negative aspect, and don't get me wrong, I don't want to just hammer on the negative. I want to get to that positive before I sit down. But looking at the negative, we go to James chapter 3. And James, writing of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, very plainly and aptly defines and describes exactly what our state is in this nature and how destructive the tongue can be. We go to James chapter 3, and he talks about how you have to put a bit to control a horse. He talks about how ships, though they're so huge and they displace so much water, but yet they're just steered by just a little rudder. Just a little small action of the rudder can make all the difference between it going to the eastern hemisphere or the western hemisphere. Just that little bit can make all of the difference in the world. But now notice what he says, verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and notice this phrase, and setteth on fire the course of nature. and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Reminds me of the cartoons I used to watch when I was a kid. My dad tickles me. My dad is, I love him, but he's an old fuddy-duddy. I mean, when it comes, he's picky about his cartoons now. I used to watch Cat Dog, and I used to watch, I'd watch SpongeBob SquarePants, and I love all kind of commercial, cartoons. And when I grew up, there were only three channels, four if you stood on one leg and held the antenna right. That's all you had to watch. And during that time, those cartoons, they were my life every Saturday morning. When we weren't in church, I was planted there watching those cartoons, okay? And I love cartoons. My dad, he would see SpongeBob SquarePants, or he would see something like that, and he would say, I don't like them cartoons at all. Those cartoons are unrealistic. They're not at all feasible. Nothing like the cartoons I had. I said, oh, like a talking rabbit and a talking duck that get blown to bits and they get up and walk again, or an anvil drops on them off of a mesa and smushes them on the asphalt, but yet they get up, beep, beep, zip, bang, whatever, and they're gone again. That's realistic. Well, you know, the reason I say that is because oftentimes in those cartoons you used to see where Wile E. Coyote, he wanted to blow up the Roadrunner. He hated that Roadrunner, bless his heart. He must have been delicious. That's all I could say. He must have had him a little Roadrunner sometime in the past, and he knew, I want me some more of that. Okay? So he kept on keeping on after that Roadrunner. So what would he do? He would take a big old keg of powder, of gunpowder, of explosives, and he would shake that trail all the way around a cactus or a rock, wherever he was hiding, and he would put it there in a clandestine place so that when that Roadrunner came along, in theory, bless his soul, he was going to blow it to smithereens and have him some barbecued Roadrunner. But it never worked out. But how is it that he was hiding behind a rock and he got something to explode over here on the road? Because, my friends, there was a nature, a course of a nature of gunpowder that was laid from that trap all the way to where he was, and all it took was a flame. All it took was a flame, because the nature of fire is, as long as it has oxygen and it has something to feed it, it will burn. And it will continue to burn. And it's reliable that it will burn all the way down that line of gunpowder until it finally explodes something. That's the power of the tongue. That's the power of the tongue to these natural bodies in which we dwell. They have a certain course of nature. And why is it that God has chosen for the word to be so powerful? I mean, we live in a universe of rays. We live in a universe of great wonders of quantum physics and all of these things. Why is it that just the words that come out of our mouth are so important to God? I don't know, but the word of God says they are. They have great power. They carry great weight. God help us to keep the doors of our lips and our mouth. He says here, it setteth on fire the course of nature. There is an undeniable relationship between the corrupt nature of a wicked person and what comes out of their mouth. Okay? There's an undeniable connection there. If you go over to Psalm chapter 5, talking about the wicked, in Psalm chapter 5, there is no faithfulness in his mouth. He said that his inward parts are very wickedness. And then he goes on to say his throat is an open sepulcher, and with his tongue he has used flattery. Notice what he said there. He started out with what? The tongue. He started out with communication. He said there's no faithfulness in his mouth. Okay, he also tells you that his throat, wherein our vocal intonations spring, it's an open sepulcher. He said they use flattery. That's a terrible thing that the wicked do. And right in the midst of that, he said his inward part is very wickedness. There's an undeniable connection. But if you see someone who is full of bitterness and vitriol, their throat is an open sepulcher, the poison of asp is under their lips. Now let me tell you something, my friends. All we have to, you can't look on the Lamb's Book of Life, and I can't either, right? Amen. I can't. I've never seen it, never opened it up. I'm not worthy to do it. I can tell you, if the Lion of the tribe of Judah is the only one that's worthy to open the seals of that book spoken of in Revelation, which is not even the Lamb's Book of Life, I'm convinced, I'm certainly not capable and worthy to look upon the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lord knoweth them that are his. That's his seal. I rejoice in that. But my friends, we are left fruit and evidences in this life. And we just have to do the best we can in judging those. Now, in understanding that, we have to understand that in our judgment, as in anything else, okay, our judgment is faulty. At its very best, it is not eternal. It is not glorified. It is not the perfect, seamless, all-knowing, omniscient mind of God. And we must always have that pause and that reservation when viewing the works of other people. But if I see someone, it says over in Psalm 73, Asaph said of the wicked, he said that their mouth is set against heaven and their tongue walketh through the earth. It means they're prideful and vain. They do not love the Lord. They'll set their mouth against heaven. I'll not believe in you, God. I'll not have you. Some people think that unless you're born again, you can't know that there's a God. Balderdash, my friends, the word of God is very plain. That you don't have to be born again to know that there's a creator, to see his eternal Godhead, to see his mighty working and power. You don't have to have the new spirit to do that, but you do have to have the spirit of God to humble yourself before that God and use that tongue, my friends, to honor and to worship him in the way that we ought. Oh, I'm not a perfect judge, but I'm also not a hollow logger. I believe there comes a time, if you spend enough time around a person, you're going to see a glimpse of their true nature. But even that, let us please, please, let us retain the attitude of the Apostle Peter before he went to Cornelius' house. Or as he went in there, he said, God hath showed me that I should call no man common nor unclean. It's not our business to go pronouncing eternal woe on individuals. But I can tell you what, my friends, I accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative. I love to be encouraged by someone who loves to speak righteousness, who loves to keep the doors of their lips and to speak with a sanctified tongue. That gives me great joy. I love to be around somebody like that. You know why? Because I know already they're better than me. I've got a terrible propensity for cursing. I do. You know, some people got sins affect us different ways, right? Sins all affect us different ways. And I'm gonna tell you what, I can cuss a blue streak now. I can make a sailor just blush and hide. But I thank God that he has blessed me and broken my heart and shown me a better way to have discipline over my words. Because, my friends, you set those words in motion. It's a course of nature and it's set on fires of hell. And we need to always remember we all have that veil of flesh still hung about our necks until the Lord delivers us from it. Either his last day when he comes or when we are interred in the earth and our soul and spirit returns unto the Lord that gave it. One way or the other, I thank God I won't have this tongue in glory. I'll have something glorified. It'll be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ who went about doing good and saying good. My friends, he kept the law to the jot and to the tittle. I want to be like him. I love that hymn. I want to love him more, Brother John, because I do, I do, I do. I fail at loving him like I ought to so much. But my friends, Lord, help us. Help us to remember the words that we share. Psalm 58, he said, the wicked go astray from the womb. He said they go astray as soon as they be born. Speaking lies. There's an undeniable connection there. We go to, real quickly, I want to point out to that some scripture on that. I go over to Matthew chapter 12. And in Matthew chapter 12, we're going to see this. Verse 33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. Now, if you're a corrupt, dead, alien sinner, the Lord Jesus is not telling you here you have the power to make your tree good. No, he's just laying the foundation of fact that the tree will either bear fruit or the tree won't bear fruit. He said, if you don't see fruit, then you need to assume some things about the tree, that the tree ain't right, okay? But if that tree does bear fruit, then there's some assumptions you can make about that tree. I mean, you don't know that tree from, you don't know how many rings are in the trunk of that tree. You don't know exactly what the name of that tree is, but you know that tree's alive, and you rejoice in seeing that fruit. But here he said, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, there's some folks out there, bless their pea-picking hearts, they believe you only become a sinner after you sin. No, my friends, you only sin because you're born a sinner. The dynamic is not from without to within. The dynamic is seen here plainly, from within to without. Okay, the wicked, they go astray just as soon as they be born. That's the fundamental lesson here. And so, You know, the world has that dynamically. They have that dynamic completely opposite. They feel like you are a self-made person. Oh, my friends, you fell in Adam. And in our natural nature, we've just been reveling in it ever since until the Lord does a change in our heart and soul and spirit. And that's the only thing that makes a difference. He said, O generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Now these next couple of verses really tear people's nerves up. He says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And they'll say, oh my goodness, if I say too many bad words or whatever, I'll be held to account for it at that day. Let me tell you something, kindred. Notice the focus here. He's talking to a bunch of rebellious, hard-hearted Jews right here who hate Jesus Christ. And I want you to look at that, his focus to them. Because I can tell you what, every word they speak will be judged as an idle word at that last day before that great white throne. But the only hope that you and I have is this, that in the eyes of God the Father, gazing at us through the blood of the everlasting Son of God, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, who in the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God was delivered into the hands of wicked men and crucified and slain, that because of that shed blood, there'll not be one idle word to my account. My logos will be evened up, reconciled by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not one idle word will we be judged by. Oh, my friends, we'll be judged by the perfect language and speech of the Almighty God, who's so powerful he gave us this inspired word. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? I love grace. I'll tell you, if you don't love grace, I don't know what's wrong with you. I love grace because I need it so badly. I need it so badly. Undeniable. Friends, that there's that relationship. But now I want to end. It's 17 minutes. I got to hurry along.
No, don't look.
My wife will say, Lord, don't tell him that, Brother Bowman. She knows. That's right. I told her. I said, if I get to do it, you got to give me a sign now. So, I mean, if y'all see her doing this, she doesn't have a tick or something. She's telling me it's time to sit down. Okay, just look at the example. What's the very first active sin that Adam did after he fell in sin? He blamed his precious wife. He blamed his wife. Not only did he blame his wife, he also inferred he was blaming God. He said, the woman thou gavest me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Oh, I can remember my daddy, bless his heart. He'd get in a tizzy, got a terrible temper just like me. I come by it honest. Got a terrible temper, and he couldn't find a saw blade. And I mean, he'd come raring through that. Now, let me tell you something. I don't nail two boards together. I'm useless, okay? I can nurse. And I try to preach, but outside of that, don't expect I'm going to help you fix your car. I'm not going to be able to get a square cabinet built for you. I'm just not going to be that guy, okay? And he'd get a saw blade missing or his long-handled screwdriver, and he'd go through. Where'd y'all put it? I'm like, I ain't got no use for that thing. I only had three sisters. Bless their heart, they would take the brunt of it too. I know y'all moved it somewhere. Like, what do they want with a long-handled screwdriver? You know, other than to kill me sometimes, but they didn't. Grace, again, grace unto it. You see, that is man at his basest part, is when he is unable to conceive of the fact, and we all still do that from time to time, don't we? I mean, here we built a new house not long ago, and I came into my brand new bathroom, and the towel rack was hanging down out of the sheetrock on one side. And what did I do? I reverted to my baser instincts. Which one of y'all pulled this out of the wall? Now, stop, Joe. Why would they have any need, those girls, to pull that thing out of the wall? What I didn't realize was we had a new puppy, and there was a towel hanging on it, and the puppy decided he wanted to play with the towel, and the puppy pulled it out of the wall. But you see, that's our baser instinct. We always want to blame someone, okay? The very first sin that was actively committed was a sin of the tongue. It was a sin of the speech. But you know, it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruits thereof. And I've eaten that bitter fruit of death many, many times. But my friends, I want to close with life. Because the Lord has also given us great fruit to be had by a wise, godly discipleship and sharing of the truth of Jesus Christ. Death's in the power of that tongue, but my friends, also so is life. So is life. Now, I'm not saying that by the things you say, the things you think, the way you respond, that that obtains for you eternal life. No, my friends, I believe eternal salvation is in the mind and purpose of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It was purposed before the world began, and it will come to perfect fruition at that last day. And friends, in the mighty counsel of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, that is done. But I want to tell you this, my experience and joy of that salvation is going to be great. Greatly dependent upon my use of the tongue, upon what I'm willing to confess. You know, Jesus Christ said, "He that denieth me before men, him will I deny before my Father in heaven. Him that confesseth me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." Was he talking about the gaining or the losing of everlasting life? No, but he was talking about the gaining or the losing of special intercessorship, a special hearing of your prayers. Oh, friends, I'll tell you, we have an intercessor who is able to the utmost, to the uttermost, to save all that come unto him. And I'm thankful that he liveth ever to be our intercessor. But if I want him, if I want to feel his power, and if I want to walk with him in a special way, my friends, it is to confess his holy and blessed name. To use that tongue in the good way. In Psalms 19:14, he said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart." Thank you. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." Oh my God, my Lord, my Redeemer. You see, there's power in the spoken word. Power in the spoken word. What was it said over in Psalm chapter 40? He said, "I waited patiently on the Lord." Is this describing a dead alien sinner? No, I think it's talking about people just like us. We waited patiently on the Lord. My friends, if you don't think you have to wait patiently on the Lord, if you are not being a long-suffering Christian in this life surrounded by people that hate us and will spew out on us vitriol day in and day out, then my friends, you ain't doing discipleship right. That's all I can tell you. There's not any boldness. There's not any assurance in that. But when you're willing to take the barbs of this world, when you're willing to take people denying you and degrading you and talking about you behind your back, I'm telling you, when you are willing to be that intrepid person that would stand like David did in days of old in that valley before Goliath, when you're willing, my friend, you have set your mind to the defense of the gospel. When you come to that point, I'm telling you, there's a boldness that nothing else in this world can give you. When you're willing to confess your Lord and Savior before men, there's power in that. There is salvation in that. It is great power. And I want to close with just a couple examples of that. Again, I started on Psalm 40. He said, "I waited patiently on the Lord." He said, "Thou inclined unto me. Thou heard my cry." He said, "You lifted me up out of a horrible pit." That's this world, friends. A horrible pit. "You lifted me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and you put a new song in my mouth." You put a new song in my mouth. "Oh, that I would praise the Lord." And he goes on to say, "And many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord." Why is this church not more full today? Why is Sulphur Springs Church back home not more full today? Kindred, I'm here to tell you, it's not because they've got, you know, because of their preacher gifts or anything like that. We're not what we ought to be. And to a large extent, it's my own fault. So oftentimes, our problem is that we've been lifted out of the miry clay. He has established our feet upon a rock. He has given us a new song to sing. But how rarely sometimes do we sing it before people we meet? You know, you have an opportunity every day to live like Jesus Christ. Some of you will go to a restaurant. I want you to know, every time I go into a restaurant, I look at that as discipleship training. Because whoever's waiting on me is usually not just waiting on me. Now, it's a lot worse pre-COVID. They're not just waiting on me. They're waiting on multiple people. And a lot of those people don't behave themselves, do they? I don't know if any of y'all have ever been a waiter or a waitress. I have not. This is not my handkerchief, it's my crawfish mask, so excuse me. I have not, but my goal every time I go into a restaurant is that that person will have no easier customer to deal with than me, okay? That I'm not going to complain, I'm not going to nitpick, I'm not going to. What if they spit in your food? Well, I'm going to tell you what. Jesus Christ was spit in his face. Jesus Christ was hung upon a cruel cross. I'll tell you, it's just one little way I could suffer in his name to try to make it a little easier and a little more edifying for someone else. My friends, if we would speak those words that are seasoned with grace, if we would share them and be more diligent in that, how glorious it would be. Because he said, you know what, you're saying it. He said, but people are seeing it. They will see it and will fear the Lord. You see, it's not just what we say. It's how we behave. Are we backing up with our steps what we say with our tongue? Are the members on the earth matching up with the members that's in our skull? God help us. Because my friends, there is great, great power in confessing. I'll tell you in Luke chapter 24, those Emmaus disciples were walking along, and after Jesus had left out of their presence, what did they say? Did not our hearts burn within us? You're talking about that's a good course of nature. That's a good fire set on a course of a new nature. Did not his word just burn within us when he talked with us by the way of his word? Jeremiah chapter 20 had gotten so discouraged, he said, I won't speak in his name anymore. But he said, I couldn't. I had to relent. Why? Because his word was as a fire caught up in my bones. That's what Jesus Christ is to us, my friends. He's a fire. He's a consuming fire. And the greatest thing we can do is to release that fire from within to without. Because it will never destroy someone's life. It will only make it better. Oh, I'm going to tell you, the wicked will hate it. But Kindred, I'll tell you, it means the world. I think that's what he's talking about over in Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. You see, my friends, he went on to tell them that that word of faith which was in them needed to be confessed. And in doing that, there was salvation and power to be had. There is assurance in that. My friends, let us speak the words of Christ. Let us not keep our lips closed. Let us not be all caught up in our own little ways, our own little idiosyncrasies. 27 minutes. I got 3 minutes worth of Colossians I'm going to give you, and then I'm going to shut up and sit down. I should have already stopped, but I'm going to close with this over in Colossians. Again, remember the dynamic is from within to without. All right? Notice in Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth. In verse 25, he says, speaking of the gospel, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. What's under consideration? Preaching, witnessing, sharing Jesus Christ. He said, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints. How? By preaching. Now, what is it that's so wonderful, that's so mysterious, that's so powerful, that under the sound of good, sound, spirited gospel preaching, that it can come to bear? What is it? He said, to whom? These people that were in ignorance, but now hearing the shared word of Jesus Christ our Savior, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. That's a riches you never hear Joel Osteen talk about. But that's the riches that were continually spoken of in the word of God. He said, would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does our preaching do? Does our preaching get Christ in you, the hope of glory? No, it doesn't. But Kindred, let me tell you something. Someone's heart who's been broken by sin, who has the Spirit of God within, and who's been made to see their need for a Savior. When they, it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, one comes in, and if all are prophesying, it says, my friends, he is convicted of all or condemned of all. He is judged of all. And what? He'll fall down upon his face, and the secrets of his heart will be made manifest. Oh, my friends, that fire caught up that he didn't know in gospel evangelization now makes sense. And what does he do? He confesses it before all these people. People will say, that's a very strange and awkward thing. No, my friends, it's salvation and power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, I'm going to preach the gospel. Why? Not to get Christ in people, but to show the ones that already have Christ in them, that He is their hope of glory. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Friends, that's our charge. Somebody may say, I'm not ordained a preacher. It's not just for preachers. It's for all of us. Lord, help us day by day to live for those others that we sang about this morning. I thank y'all. We love you. So glad to be here. Appreciate you.